Welcome to Seeing Your Inner Brilliance, the podcast for big dreamers and high achievers, where we are fueling you to see yourself, who you really are on the inside, rather than who life has conditioned or shaped you to become. Why? Because when you can see yourself and truly see your own inner brilliance, therefore you can be yourself. And that is your edge. That is your inherent power and what allows you to set the foundation for truly living a life that you desire, for fulfilling that vision that is on your heart, for leaving your mark on this world. We can't do it without truly being ourselves, because what you have been called to is being called through you. And it has to truly come through you, not get trapped or stuck or held up because of some conditioning of who people told us that we should be, those types of things. So that is exactly what Seeing Your Inner Brilliance is. I am your host, self-worth and confidence coach, Charlsie Childers. And the topic for today's episode is one that really hits me to my core. And I'm sure that it may affect you in the same way. Today, we are talking about this idea of success to significance. We're focusing on the transition from, yes, pursuing external success, but what about fulfillment? Because I know that so many of us are either at that place now where we're questioning that, or we're on the journey of that. Maybe you are somebody who has reached that external success and you're not as satisfied as you thought you would be once you got there. So you're beginning to question, is this it? Is there more? Or perhaps you just intuitively know that you are called for more. You are here for it all, not just the external success that society preaches and conditions us to desire and to go after, but your desire for even more than that, to go beyond that, to make a lasting impact, to create a legacy, to soak up every single freaking ounce of joy and fulfillment and satisfaction and all of those good feelings that are possible and available for you. You just intuitively know that. I know this about you. You are not just here for the mediocrity that society conditions us to want. You aren't here just to make it, just to have the nice car, just to make the six or seven figures and that be it. No, you are here for so much more than that. Like many of you big dreamers and high achievers, I grew up envisioning what it would be like to be successful. I thought I would be a high level, just badass female executive wearing high heels and a pencil skirt who gets home and makes my kids dinner and then shows up again as my badass self the next day. 7 years into my journey, though, in the pursuit of the top ladder step, if you will, I started questioning if that was really it to life. I felt called to even more than I had envisioned for myself, and this spun me for a tailspin because purpose, impact, fulfillment was as foreign to me as speaking Chinese or Japanese. I still wanted to be successful, making all of the money, having an amazing marriage, having kids who looked up to me as their badass mom in her career, but my heart also longed for something, for being known for something, for making an impact in this world and leaving a legacy, something greater than myself. So if you're a big dreamer and high achiever who has reached a point where you're also questioning if the path you're on is the right one, maybe you're wondering what your purpose is, and you also have this nudge on your heart that you are here to do something big, then this episode is for you. If you are someone who just gets hyped up by hearing from someone who has done it, who has achieved this aligned balance between success and fulfillment and achievement and satisfaction, who is there, then that is exactly what you can expect to get out of today's episode. I thought it would be so, so impactful for you to bring in someone who is the epitome of that. His name is Kevin Palmieri. I am so grateful to call him friend. He is also co-host of the Next Level University podcast, which is a global top 100 self-improvement podcast. They have over 800,000 listens or downloads. They are a multi-six-figure show. Kevin is just absolutely incredible. He has been there, if you know what I mean. He has been there as far as chasing the success, chasing the money, chasing the women and the perfect body, chasing the perfect car, all of these things. And then now he has swung into the other pendulum, the other side of the pendulum, if you will, to where he has found a balance between what it means to be an achiever, as well as what it means to wake up every morning with that sense of fulfillment, that sense of deep impact, meaning, and purpose in this world. He is also a speaker, a podcast coach, a husband, and a dad to two cats. I think that's called a cat dad? Anyways, Kevin is absolutely incredible. I know that if this topic of fulfillment and significance and meaning is as important to you as it is me, then you are going to get so, so much value out of this episode. So put in your AirPods, even grab a pen and a piece of paper. We drop some really good nuggets in here. So without further ado, let's get into my conversation with Kevin. Kevin, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for being on Seeing Your Inner Brilliance. Super excited to talk to you today and jam out. So welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I'm excited. I'm energetic. You're energetic. This should go swimmingly.
Yes, yes. And amen to that. So we are not the type of people to talk about the weather. So we are going to shoot straight to it. And I want to hear from you outside success. You were at a place in your life where you had it all, that it looked like, you know, sunshine and roses in your life, if you will. And then you reached a point, what I call a breaking point, where there was some kind of contradiction between the outside and how you felt on the inside. So if you will, just let us inside of your life and what that looked like.
Yeah, of course. So by all outside standards, I had all the successes you could ever want. I was 25 years old. I had a girlfriend who was a model. I had just won a bodybuilding show, so I was quite literally in the best shape of my life. High-paying job, sports car, new apartment, all the things that a lot of us want and a lot of us desire. And the truth is, I wanted it and I desired it as well, but I didn't understand why I wanted it and why I desired it. One day, my girlfriend came to me, and she said, hey, I want to move across the country. I want to move from New Hampshire to California. I want to chase my dreams. And the best way that I explain it is I was just an empty vessel. It's very hard to pour into somebody else's dreams when you can barely take care of yourself. I was unable to do that. My girlfriend ended up leaving me, and that's the right choice. She did exactly what she should have. But when she did, I remember having a conversation with myself about not feeling successful, about not feeling valuable. I wanted to know more about myself and why I felt the way I felt. Here's the problem. I dipped one toe into self-improvement, and then I convinced myself if I go make a boatload of money, all these other problems are going to go away. So that next year, I grinded and I grinded and I grinded and I worked my face off for 10 months, living in hotels, living on the road because my job required a lot of travel. I made $100,000, opened up my pay stub that year at the end, and my final pay stub of the year. And I remember I thought I'd feel different, right? I saw the number was great, but I thought I would feel different. I thought I would feel more confident, more capable. I thought I'd feel more clear. I thought I would feel more certain. I didn't feel any of those things. I realized that for most of my life, especially that year, I had lived unconsciously. I don't know why I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm doing it. I'm hoping for the best. The opposite of unconscious is hyperconscious. Started a podcast called the Hyperconscious Podcast. Fell in love with podcasting. As I'm falling out of love with my job, I've made it to the top of the mountain. I'm not interested in doing it anymore. I don't want to do it. I can't do this again. So I start calling out. I start leaving the job site early. I'm showing up late. And it was at this unique time where I knew I can't just do this podcast thing. I'm not making any money. I don't know what to do. Mental health kept getting worse. I wasn't happy. I was depressed. I was anxious. So rock bottom basement moment. This is where my life turned around or really shifted. I woke up in a hotel room at 5:30 in the morning, 6 hours away from home, getting ready for work that day. And the best way to explain it is there was 10 televisions on in my head at the same time, and every single one is on a different station. And one is saying you're stuck here forever. People like you don't get jobs like this. Never mind, quit them. If you do leave, what will your friends say? If you do leave, what will your family say? And if you do leave, what do you think you're going to do? Like, what's next? You're going to podcast? And in that moment, I felt that if I was to take my life, I would take my problems with me. Now, I am very blessed because I have a ton of positive people around me, and I kind of always have. So I'm very, very grateful. I reached out to one of those positive people. I told him what was going on. He's now my business partner. And he said, Kev, over the last couple of years, your awareness has changed a ton, but your environments have remained the same. I think it's time for you to change your environment. He's very wise. So I ended up leaving my job 3 or 4 months later and then starting the journey of being a very broke entrepreneur, a very broke podcaster, trying to figure out how do we succeed at this and what is this all for?
Holy shit. You just dropped a whole bunch of nuggets within those few minutes. And I know that so many of us listening right now can relate to your story in some facet or another. Mm-hmm. And just thank you so much for your vulnerability and transparency. And it's so, so important from my perspective that people like us, the high achievers, the ones who know in our hearts that we were created for more and we were created to change the world in some aspect, and for us to shine light on the inner portals that we face, because it's real. It's real. Just because we are driven doesn't mean we don't go through stuff. So thank you so much for doing that so, so beautifully.
Of course. That's what I'm here to do. It's my, you know, I know a lot of people, they don't want to share certain parts of their story. And I always say this, don't share the open wounds, but you can share the scars. For me, a lot of that is a scar. I feel really good about where we are today. So I appreciate the kind words very much, but I want to impact. That's the goal at the end of the day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we definitely would. I'm going to get there because I know that we somehow misconstrue and just, whether we are conditioned or you mentioned unconsciously, somewhere along the way, we get the notion that life is all about the shiny things on the outside. So why do you think that was the case for you? Like, where along the journey do you think you picked up this? Maybe it was a vision. Maybe it was success looked a certain way and was a certain formula.
I grew up in a household that had a lower income. So I believe when I look back, more money equals more freedom equals more opportunity equals more success. What I think really, this is what I recognize now looking back, my internal state and my external state were so drastically different. I think that's why I was struggling so much with mental health. Because if you looked at me, there's no possible way I could be as good as you would think. I wasn't as good as I represented. So I don't necessarily think that it's the shiny stuff versus the lack of. I think if we work twice as hard on getting shiny stuff than we do on ourselves, when we get the shiny stuff, it becomes a key to a door that doesn't work. And then we say, now what? Well, okay, maybe it's a new partner. No, that's not it. Let me get a new house. That's not it. And I feel like what happens is we find keys and we try this key. That's not it. We try this key. That's not it. And eventually you get down to whatever you think the last key is. And when it doesn't open the door, that's when things start to break. And I think that's what happened. I mean, I won a bodybuilding show. My girlfriend was a model. Didn't work. Didn't work. Okay. I got a nice place. Didn't work. Dream car. Didn't work. Maybe if I make a substantial amount of money, that was the kind of the key that broke my back in a way. And I think that's where a lot of us have been positioned. Nobody really talks about fulfillment. I might look more successful today than I've ever been, but I am more fulfilled than I've ever been. I can assure you of that, but you can't recognize that. It's very hard to recognize fulfillment. So long, long, long answer short, I think a lot of us are optimizing for happiness, which is momentary bouts of dopamine, results-based. not fulfillment, which is purpose-driven and growth and contribution-based, is what I would say.
I love that analogy that you used about the key and the door, and that was just such a perfect visual.
Thank you.
And so when it comes to this outer success and looking for happiness and those momentary hits of dopamine, which I refer to as circumstantial power, why do you think there is an incongruency between who we are on the inside and what we're striving to achieve or what we have on the outside?
Because the inner game is the long game. And it, honestly, for high achievers, it's the harder game. For a lot of people, it's not hard to go make a lot of money. There's a lot of people out there that are really, really good at saying, you know what, I have this giant goal, I think I'll do that. And then they go do it. But the stuff that we really need to work on is usually the harder stuff. So it's that inner stuff. Oh, I haven't talked to my dad since I was a child. I should probably face my dad. Or I know somebody who had a stepfather who needs to reach out so he can close that gap. He can close that wound. I think it's because it's harder. You don't necessarily have a formula or a playbook. You don't really know what to do. What do I do? Do I go to therapy? Do I get a counselor? Do I that? And I think that there's nothing more personal than looking in the mirror and seeing all of your imperfections. And if you haven't done that often, it's a very challenging thing to do, where, you know, go get 5 new clients. That might not be that hard for somebody who believes in themselves. But there's a drastic belief, or there's a drastic difference between high belief or belief in general and self-worth. Those are two completely different things. High self-belief will get you results. I believe accurate self-worth will get you fulfillment, because it's very hard to be fulfilled if you don't value yourself as a human being. So I think that's what it is. I think it's, if you have a lot of belief, you're going to seek external results. The internal results are usually the things that we're longing for at the deepest level.
Hallelujah and amen to that. That was so, so good. So good. And I feel compelled, Kevin, because I can relate to your story in so many ways, where I had outside success. I had all the things, and I reached a point in my journey as well where there was just this recognizing that what I was promised and the path that I thought that I was on was not bringing the things that I thought it was. And so for someone listening right now, if you maybe have faced that a couple of times, if you've revisited that realization several times and you're just swirling, will this thing help me be satisfied and fulfilled? Will it be this thing? Will it be this thing? Those things that circle is so important, and it is serving such a purpose because it is grinding in and solidifying the notion that this is not going to work. Mm. And for some people, that can take one form of advice. So fulfillment is this way. Mm. For some people, we have to revisit those breaking points and those low points over and over and over again. And it doesn't mean that anything is wrong with us. It doesn't mean that we're less than, that we're not smart enough or anything like that. It's just that the swirling and the spinning and the revisiting is building the journey, that is solidifying our journey, that is serving such a purpose for us, so that one day you'll be able to share the story like Kevin is. Maybe you'll be able to help somebody. You know, our struggles aren't for nothing. So yeah. I just felt compelled to say that. Give somebody permission. It's okay if you've had that basement moment several times, right? It's not that you're never going to get where you're meant to be or anything like that. It's just that your path looks different, and to honor that and accept that. So, Kevin, from your perspective, when you were in that basement and you were thinking suicidal thoughts and you talked to your friend, now co-host, did you just take his advice of, you know, looking internal essentially? Or did you intuitively know that the solution to things was at least to go inside? Like, how did you know to do something different than what you've been doing?
What I always say is that day I got something that I didn't really understand that I was looking for. I got permission to make a different decision. And I always use this as an example. Imagine if I reached out to somebody who had a fixed mindset and they said, Kev, nobody really likes their job. You know, it's, you just got to pay the bills, grind it out. Or it's almost the end of the week. Just get through the week. The weekend will make it better, and then go back Monday. I got permission from somebody who actually understood what was best for me and wanted what was best for me regardless of himself. The advice he gave was not to help him. He gave me the permission to say, well, Kev, I mean, have you ever thought of maybe leaving your job and starting something yourself? No, of course I've never thought of that. I don't believe in myself at all. I don't believe in myself. So I think, I'm sure you've heard the, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. I think it was just one of those moments where Alan had a $200,000 job. He left to be an entrepreneur. It's like, interesting. He's done it. Okay. He had studied self-improvement for so long that a lot of the stuff he was talking about just made sense. Okay. And I was all the way at heck no. We call it the pain pleasure pendulum. The further something swings into the pain, the more likely you can swing it to pleasure. And I was tapping out the pain. So there's really nowhere else for me to go other than the worst thing. So I had somebody in my corner who supported me, and I had somebody in my corner who believed in me. And that was something different for me. My biggest issue, and the reason my podcast was called Hyperconscious, awareness is my issue. I'm an operator. If you tell me what to do, I'll go do it. I'll smack my head against the wall as many times as it takes to do it. But I usually don't know what to do. When somebody tells me what to do, it's like, never really thought of that before. Okay, let me try that. That, I think I was just ready that day for it. So yeah.
That's so, so funny. I could just visualize and envision you doing that. Oh my gosh, so funny. So what were those, you know, once you crossed over, if you will, just for lack of better words, going from a journey of achieving outer success to a journey of achieving internal success, whatever that looks like, were there any doubts, fears, upper limits in particular, the inadequacies that came up for you? And the reason I ask is because when we're so used to doing and so used to achieving, we're so used to getting results and getting what we want, we're in a conditioned state that where we depend and we rely on our doing and our performance, right? And so then internal success, like you said, cannot be seen. It cannot be really defined by anybody else. So what were those portals that came up for you that you had to work through?
All of them. So many. I'm not a natural high achiever, and I'm not a natural high belief person. I struggle with self-belief to this day, far less than I ever have. But for me, it was, you're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You don't know enough. You'll never know enough. This was a big one for me. You are not the type of person who is a business owner. You are not the type of person who is good with money or numbers. Those were the really, really, really big things for me. I remember Alan and I were in California, and we were interviewing one. He was kind of a mentor, but he's a podcast guest we had on before. And when he heard we were coming out to California, we were talking to him, and he said, come to my house and you can interview at my house. So we go to this guy's house and we interview him in his movie theater. And we finish, right? That's enough, right? We finish, and he's like, I want to cook you guys dinner. So I'm going to cook you guys dinner out by the pool. So he rolls out his grill, his Benihana style grill. This is what he does when he has company over. So we eat. It was awesome. We get to the end, towards the end of the night, and Alan, my business partner, and him are talking about business. And I remember having this moment where here I am in a mansion in California. I never expected to get half as far as we are today. And I just do not feel good about myself. I am not smart enough to hang in this conversation. I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about. I don't know this leveraged bio. I don't know what any of this means. I'm supposed to be living the dream right now, but I cannot get out of my head. And I remember going to Alan and saying, hey, man, I just don't feel smart enough. What if I'm not smart enough? And he said, well, you might not be smart enough yet. That's okay. I mean, what have you learned? You got to focus on learning the stuff that you don't know yet. I still deal with that. I don't know if that'll ever fully go away. I have imposter syndrome because I am always trying to grow, right? Every time you get, I don't know if imposter syndrome is supposed to go away. That's just like, that means I stopped growing probably. Or I'm living in comfort to some degree. So for me, it was all the you're not good enough, you're not smart enough. Insert some sort of inadequacy, insert some sort of scarcity here. And then full disclosure, in the beginning, we weren't making any money. So I'm $35,000 in credit card debt. I'm living with one of my best friends, renting a room. That was just such a struggle. But to your point, one day, I'll never forget this. My buddy was at work and I was walking around the kitchen. I was broke, single, nobody cared about the podcast. I had no markers of success. But I remember thinking, wow, I'm really proud of what I'm doing. I'm really proud of what I'm doing. I'm really proud of myself. Interesting. What is this? So I almost went from having all external to no external. And I went from having no internal to almost purely internal. That's when things started to kind of make sense for me.
Oh my gosh, I am so, so freaking lit up right now because you are doing such a freaking fantastic job of breaking it down of the a pendulum, the shift from chasing outside success and the portals, the BS that we can go through that can come up for us when we're in the gap. And then with where we're going is internal success. And when we're there, right? And we've reached that fulfillment. Oh my, yes, Kevin, yes. And so how did you know to keep going? Because I know, especially if you're an early entrepreneur, if you're an early anything and you don't have any results, first of all, a lot of times people don't understand. You know, people are asking, when is this going to happen? How many of this do you have? Like, where is it is what they want to know. Where is it? And then you have the voices inside of your head, and there's just this gap that can be full of so much insecurity and unknown, and you're trying to cling on to anything and everything. So how did you know to keep going in the direction away from what you had known to something that you didn't really quite know yet, but that you were starting to see the internal evidence of it?
I still don't fully know what's going to happen, right? I know to the level I know. I think there's three beliefs that somebody must have when they're making a decision or chasing a dream, anything. It's humanly possible. So is it humanly possible for me to start a podcast and make a living? Well, there's people that do it, so it's humanly possible. It's personally possible. I didn't have that. I did not believe it was possible for me because I don't know how to do it. I borrowed that from Alan, for sure. The thing that I had, that I've always had, that I've never lost, is I did believe it would be worth it. I did believe if I suffered and I struggled and I figured it out and I got a little better and I just paid rent this month and figured out how to pay rent next month, nobody could take this away from me. I remember I had these moments where I was afraid one day I was going to wake up and this was going to be a dream. I had that so often in the beginning. Where I was so afraid I was going to have to go back. And I just wanted to do whatever it took within alignment, obviously, to make sure that I got another day. Give me another day. Give me another day. So in the beginning, I borrowed a lot of belief. I borrowed a lot of belief from Alan. And I said, hey, man, what do I do? What habits do I practice? Right? He's been my wise sensei since the beginning. But the one thing I always had, because other people had opportunities to work with Alan. Right. Alan's a great entrepreneur and he's a visionary and he has some really good ideas. And other people had opportunities to work with him, but they never believed it would be worth it. And I did. I thought to myself, look, if I can weather this storm, it's got to be better than it used to be. I'm going to be my own boss. I'm going to get to podcast whenever I want. Like there's got to be a way. Like, let me just keep showing up. And it was far more challenging than I can honestly describe. It was really, really hard for me just being broke, having to tell my wife, then girlfriend, I can't pay rent. I can't get groceries. That we used to play credit card roulette, like which credit card is going to work based on the minimum payment. That it was really, really challenging, but I always believed it would be worth it. And if I ever lost that, I probably would have quit. I probably wouldn't be doing what I'm doing because I just wouldn't believe it was worth it.
So good. I hope somebody wrote down those three beliefs. And what just came to me was that at some point in our journey, our beliefs have to become greater than our barriers. And so for you, your barriers were credit card and financial, of course, that is going to be a big one for a lot of us. But at some point, there has to be a degree of my beliefs are greater than my barriers, than the obstacles I'm facing. So if we can get to that point, because our feelings are connected to our beliefs, we're going to know the evidence of that, that we're moving in the right direction, because we feel a little bit better each and every day. We feel less and less like poop about ourselves and about our life, right? And that's a really good indication that we're moving in the right direction.
It definitely helps. It's hard, because it's very hard to condense 6 years into 60 minutes. So it's almost like, I don't know, there's been so many versions of Kevin. I've had dozens of midlife crises going through this journey. It's like, what does this mean about me? Oh, I know more than I thought I did. What does that mean? That's the interesting thing, is I don't believe it will ever truly be quote unquote easy. I think there will always be some sort of conflict or resistance, because when you're growing, that's what happens. No matter what, there's wind when you go fast. That's just the way it works. But I think my understanding of conflict or resistance isn't negative. It's not, it's okay. It's par for the course. Oh, interesting. What does this mean about me? Probably not what I think it does. So yeah, I just want to make sure I always put that out there, of I do not have it all figured out. I know myself at a very deep level, but I got a lot of work to do. I try to be a great partner. I got a lot of work to do. I'll never not have a lot of work to do. Fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you want to look at it.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a great add-on. And then I think you hit the nail on the head. It's not, the goal isn't about having it all together, because at that point, Wayne Dyer talks about desires, that when we run out of desires and we have no desires, then we're done. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, we're always going to have desires. And so we're always going to be growing. And that's the beautiful thing. The goal isn't to have it all together. The goal is exactly what you said, from my perspective, that it's how we see the negativity, how we see the resistance, how we see those low moments. Can we objectively look at them and say, oh, there's imposter syndrome. Hi, let's go.
100%. Recent and relevant proof. That is my phrase. Recent and relevant proof. What is your recent and relevant proof based on the thoughts you're having right now? I went on a podcast recently, and this person was a doctor for NASA. And I remember thinking, before I went on this show, you must have another Kevin Palmieri. There has to be a mix up here. There's no way you're interviewing me about stuff. And I remember thinking, I'm going to get found out. This is not going to go well. This is going to be brutal. And I said, well, what's your most recent and relevant proof? Oh, I did a podcast with somebody very successful not long ago. Oh, interesting. Okay. Let's go with that. Let's go with that logic over the emotion. Went really well. Went awesome. I've had those moments many times along here, but it really is, you have to look at the recent and relevant proof. And this is why action is so important. Because if you don't have action, you don't have proof. And if you don't have proof, that lack of proof becomes your proof. So action tends to be the cure-all, as long as it's in the right amount of action.
So good. So good. So good. Or that proof can also be inside of us. Mm-hmm. That proof can be the feelings of how we feel about an action, how we feel about, I remember yesterday I sent out my weekly newsletter, and this is historically something that I used to hate. I used to, can I do anything to not send this email? And after I sent it, I was like, yes, I love the way I phrased that. I love the way I was able to serve my audience in that way. And so well, that was kind of a little action in the grand scheme of things, right? But the feeling inside of it, of that satisfaction, that fullness, that yes, that impact is, it's everything. It's that proof. That proof, just find the proof.
It doesn't take a lot to change your reality. Our reality is not made up of that many things when you think about it. So even that, in some way, shape, or form, there was some level of you feeling a type of way about the newsletter. And the second you made a different decision in regards to your newsletter, you changed your reality. And now you're going to feel differently. There's been a lot of that just internally lately, of there's really not that many things when it comes to our reality. I think we're in far greater control than we realize.
1,000%. 1,000%. And I'm sure that we could get in a very esoteric conversation about that.
Of course.
Kevin's the type of person, when we met and we first started talking, I had the feeling of, oh yeah, we're going there. We could go there. You know what I mean? We can, dance each other's language, so to speak. So, oh my gosh, that's so amazing. So, all right, let's, because I want to shape your story. I'm going to come full circle with your story. Please. So you remember that moment where you were most proud of, where you were proud of yourself in mm-hmm. that moment. So from there, did you build momentum around those moments where you felt proud of yourself, or how did you just continue?
That, I believe that moment for me was one of those, oh, interesting. What other people think in regards to my dreams doesn't really matter that much. Now, I am afraid of judgment just like anybody else. I have this weird thing where if I open a door and it doesn't open, it wrecks my day. It's like a whole thing. I know it's not logical. I don't know if it's a rejection thing. I don't know. But yeah, for me, it was, oh, I am doing something to me that is very commendable. I'm having this feeling of significance, and I'm having this feeling of fulfillment that I can understand why people would judge what I'm doing, because they don't know what this feeling feels like. It gave me a lot of certainty around what I was doing. Like, I'm on the right path. Would I say it gave me momentum? Probably not, because I was still riding the struggle bus hard in terms of external results, but it definitely gave me a preview of what life could be. Because then what happens in your mind is, well, what if, I mean, if I could pay my bills and be fulfilled, that would be something different. And then it's, if I could have extra money and be fulfilled, that would be something different. So I don't know if I would say there was momentum, but there was a lot of awareness that came from that. And I believe awareness is an opportunity for momentum later on.
That was good. Or it sounds like it was more internal momentum.
Yes, I would say that. That's
and building internal momentum, there's a natural reflection at some point that there's going to be external momentum as a result of it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So what advice would you give somebody who is in that space? Maybe they're an early entrepreneur. Maybe they have been at it for a little while and they're just really trying to hone in on focus on my internal, you know, solidifying my identity, building my belief, all that stuff. What advice would you give that person?
Anytime you have the thought of, I should really do this, or I should really think about this, or I should really take action or reflect on this, and then you say, I don't want to do that, it's too hard, that's the thing to do. Usually it's that stuff that you don't want to look at that is most necessary for you. Whether it's getting a therapist, getting a counselor, I think that is it. Somebody asked me recently on a podcast, and it was a hypothetical, if somebody only had an hour to change their life, what would you suggest? And I said, first of all, that is a heavy ask, but I would say you do a 1 hour therapy session. I can't imagine a better use of an hour than you learning the internal stuff that's holding you back, learning the internal stuff that you don't even understand is running you. That. So I would say, do the scary stuff that you are afraid to do, but you do believe you will be grateful for after you do it. That would be one. And then I think the other thing would be really figure out what motivates you. It's easy to say impact motivates you, or it's easy to say love motivates you. But until you really, really are honest about what motivates you, it's going to be very hard to use that motivation properly. I am motivated by money. Still to this day, I don't think I don't want to be motivated by money, but that allows me to operate differently now. It doesn't run me like it used to. It's different than it ever was. I'm still motivated by it, but me admitting that was very, very powerful, because once you admit something, you can leverage it. So I would say that. And then the third thing I would say is get wildly familiar with what your insecurities are, because whether you know it or not, those are holding you back. It's same, right? Same. Way more than you realize. I am afraid of being short. I hate being 5'4". I'm insecure about it. But when I started talking about it, people started looking at me differently. They weren't looking at me like I was taller, which is kind of what I was going for, but it didn't work. But I think people, when you come out and say, look, have you seen 8 Mile? There's the movie with Eminem. There's 8 Mile. The last scene, the battle rap, he basically says, look, these are all the things that you're going to make fun of me for. I'm just going to use them in my own rap. Good luck. I think that's a good analogy for life, because most people aren't thinking about the stuff that you're thinking about. And when you put it out there, it just shows a level of confidence. So I would say those are probably three things I'd say.
Such great advice. And when you put it out there, not only does it give permission to people for them to be themselves, mm-hmm. it also, you do the brave work of looking at it. So there's no hiding it. There's no trying to dance over it or, you know, just make things look a certain way, like a facade. There's none of that. It's just, hey, out here.
And it starts with you, right? You don't ever have to be the type of person that goes on a podcast. I mean, unless you want to be. You don't have to be the type of person that goes on a podcast and says, this is my life story. These are my top five insecurities, whatever. That doesn't have to happen for you. Maybe for you, you just start getting comfortable and aware of them in private. Oh, interesting. I don't like this, or I don't like the way I say that, whatever it may be. Then at least you are in somewhat control of it. You don't ever have to go public with it. But to your point, at least when you put it out there, you have some control over it. Do it in a safe environment first. Again, the difference between a scar and an open wound. An open wound is going to get reopened if you talk about it. A scar, it's you got scar tissue. So maybe it's a little bit more comfortable to talk about.
Absolutely. Or to know who to talk to about your open wounds and what environment you're in when you're talking about them.
It's a challenge. I don't know about you. That's been the biggest thing that I've seen with people is the people around them. Unfortunately, it makes me so sad. It's one of the biggest reasons people aren't succeeding at the level they want to is because they have people around them who don't want them to succeed at the level they want to. Not necessarily because it's negative, not necessarily because they want bad for you, but they don't want to be left behind, or they don't believe in you based on the fact that they don't believe in themselves. It's really, really hard to find a community of growth-minded people. So that's another piece of advice I would give. Surround yourself with positive people. They don't have to know everything. They don't have to know exactly what you want, but they have to want what's best for you regardless of themselves, because they'll let you grow. They'll let you grow. They're not going to unintentionally hold you back.
That's so good. So, so good. And for me and my experience, the way I look at it is to surround yourself with, first of all, the people you can pour into, or just the people you can be present with, who you can accept them for where they are. Hopefully they accept you where you are. That's none of your business. You know, you can just be with those people. Then also the people who want to go where you want to go. You guys can talk to each other about your big dreams if you want to. You know, they're just like-minded people. And then also surrounding yourself with people who are where you want to be. Mm. And just have, and knowing the purpose of that people feel, like where, whether it's three or five, you know, whatever layers, like knowing their purpose and allowing them to serve the purpose that they have within your relationship sphere. So that, hey, I'm not going to go talk to this person about my dream, but I am going to go talk to this person and I can be totally jazzed up. You know what I'm talking about? This person, just knowing where to take advice from and look to.
Seasons and reasons. People are in your life for different seasons and different reasons. And to your point, once you recognize that, at least you can, once you're aware, you can leverage it in the right way. I've probably said that 10 times at this point, but it's true. That's what I feel.
So good. So good. All right. So in the journey, on the story, so to speak, we have swung, if you will, from one extreme of going all in on the outside success. And now we're kind of on the other end of the pendulum of internal success. You've achieved internal success. Of course, always a journey. Always, as your desires grow, the work that you have to do within yourself has to evolve and grow with it. Else there's incongruency between your identity and your desires. And yeah, and then you also have outside success. So that definitely helps. So what does that look like for you right now?
Now it's If you figure before I was zero internal, 10 external, then I went 10 internal, zero external. Now it's just like, how do we do 9 and 1 and then 1 and 9, right? And then 8 and 2 and 2 and 8. And now it's more a balance of we've worked really hard on ourselves. I feel like we've become really valuable human beings. It's our job to make sure that our lives represent what we've created. So I have a very good relationship with external stuff. Very, very good. Because I also understand at this level, unless you have what somebody desires or values, it's going to be very hard to help them. It's going to be very hard. I mean, if I'm out of shape, there's no way you're going to want to work with me as a personal trainer. It just doesn't really make logical sense as a human. So now I understand more than ever that the external stuff is very, very important for business. Right? If somebody sees me and says, oh, wow, Kevin looks successful, they're more likely to work with me. but here's the new balance. I just got a new car recently. I don't expect that car to make me feel fulfilled at all. I don't know if it possibly could. Was I happy driving it? Yes. When I drove it off the lot, I was crying because I was like, wow, I've worked so hard for this. Oh man, this is amazing. But I don't expect that to be the thing that propels me forward. It's not going to change that much. It's going to change the four wheels I pull up to the gym in, really. But the fulfillment is going to come from different stuff. So now at least I understand when I'm creating a recipe for happiness, it's drastically different than the recipe for fulfillment. They're just different ingredients. Now at least I know what I'm baking. That was a happiness momentary play. Every time I see that car, I'm going to get a little dopamine spike. Love it. But it's not going to change my internal fulfillment at all, most likely. So just me understanding that just allows me to figure out this output creates this input and then rinse and repeat.
Thank you for explaining that and just articulating, because I know with a lot of the clients that I work with, just hearing, you know, that people are fulfilled, that they're satisfied, that integrating that into your nervous system can be so, so huge that, okay, the vast majority of the world can look one way and achieve one thing, right? Which is fine, totally fine. Mm-hmm. However, there's also many people going back to that proof, right? And going back to that of, just integrating it into the nervous system and knowing that it's possible, believing that it's possible. So yeah. As always, very, very good. Very good. So one final question for you. What upper limits? You've spoken to this a little bit, but what, and by the way, I refer to upper limits. They are where your desire, you know, you have a desire, you have a goal of where you want to be and where you are internally. There, you're going to have to rise to that level. Every time a desire gets bigger, then your internal game needs to get stronger, essentially. Mm-hmm. And so the upper limits are the space between those. And we got to, you know, fix those upper limits, else those chains are going to hold us back from where we want to go. So what are those upper limits that you're facing right now? Are they a continuation of the imposter syndrome that you mentioned earlier?
That's a part of it. Yeah, that's still here. And I don't want to will it into existence by saying it'll be here probably forever. If it is, I'm okay with it, because I'll just try to outgrow it every time. One of the things right now is the dealing with the pressure of the level of success that we have created and the momentum we have right now. I said this to my wife recently. I said, it's weird how at one point you're so desperate for success, and then eventually it gets to the point where like you're trying to keep up with the success that you were desperate for. That right now is just trying to juggle life similar to a bodybuilder, the way I'm working out and dieting, a family man based on trying to pour into my family, and then a business owner, and then a speaker and a coach and entrepreneur. That right now is, how do I juggle all of this and try to make sure that the balls I'm dropping, which will be some, are the least important / least fragile ones? That understanding that, yeah, we're succeeding at a higher level, but I also am going to fail at a higher level based on that. That is a weird thought for me to try to work through. But I would say right now, that's probably it.
Thank you for that honesty.
Of course.
Thank you for that honesty. And so now I would like to turn it to you and just open it up to you. Do you have anything that you would like to leave us with, or anything else you would like to say?
We kind of touched on this. But I like asking this question, because this question is one of the ones that changed my life for the better. Are the people in your life the best from your past or the best for your future? That is a question that shaped my life when I asked myself, why is this person in my life? Because we used to go to the gym, because we used to party, used to go to school, whatever, or because I can help this person accomplish their goals and they can help me accomplish my goals. I think a lot of us have been convinced that that's selfish. That it's selfish to weigh out your relationships based on whether or not they serve you. I think it's selfish not to, because you only have so many relationships you're going to be able to have. I want them to serve you. It's okay for them to serve you. It's necessary for them to serve you. And if you fast forward till the day that you're on your deathbed, you're going to look back and say, wow, I really wish I did that. So if you can reverse engineer that regret in advance, you'll be able to make more effective, logical decisions, I would say.
Powerful. Powerful. Kevin, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for dropping your wisdom and just coming into the space and shedding light on truth of how life works, how we work. So fantastic job as usual. You're no stranger to this.
Well, thank you
so much for being here.
Of course. Thank you for creating a safe space and you're a wonderful host.
Thank you.
Welcome.
I hope you enjoyed this episode with Kevin. We dropped so many golden nuggets and he dropped so much wisdom himself. We talked about how we can reach a point where there's a contradiction between the outside and how we feel on the inside. We talked about how the initial version of success can come from our childhood. Kevin went into the difference between believing in yourself enough to get results versus accurate self-worth, which leads to fulfillment. We talked about different types of thoughts that can come up for us, such as you're not the type of person who can do this. We also went into cultivating belief in the beginning and when you're first starting or in the early stages, when you don't have any external results. And then we talked about not relying on the external to fulfill you. And last but not least, Kevin touched on something so, so powerful about surrounding yourself with people who are best for your future. Woo! This episode was jam-packed with golden nuggets. I know how deeply serving and satisfying this journey can be of pursuing fulfillment and allowing external success to be a natural byproduct of that. So I put together a list of reflection questions to support you in creating a fulfilling life. I know the idea of prioritizing a fulfilling life over an externally successful one can be a big shift. It was for me, at least. I didn't realize how much external success is ingrained in me. So these questions will serve you in making that shift. So click on the link in the episode description to download these amazing, powerful questions. And in addition to them, I am here to support you in this area in other ways as well. The first one, if you are questioning your purpose, feeling called to more, but aren't sure what that is, or you're actively trying to create a fulfilling life, then your thoughts, feelings, and beliefs play a big role in this. And this kind of thing can't be a conscious decision. It has to be a subconscious one, meaning that everything you think, do, and feel is in alignment with where you're going, with the impact that you're making, with just the overall new direction of your life. It's about aligning your life to feel as good on the inside as it looks on the outside. It's about attuning to your inherent power and knowing that success is from within. Sometimes this attunement and alignment requires us to uproot and unravel core internalizations inside of us. Like I said, external success has been deeply, deeply ingrained in me. So therefore, I have thoughts and beliefs that are not in support of my pursuit of fulfillment. And they come up from time to time and they have held me back. But because I know my core internalization, because I can identify when that is coming up within me, when it is affecting my thoughts, my decisions, my actions, and therefore I am moving from a place of playing small, struggling in silence, hiding, not showing up as the woman I want to be, that's when I know my core internalization is at play. And so sometimes it takes us discovering this core internalization and building such a relationship with ourselves in a way that creates this massive shift from pursuing external success to fulfillment. And that is okay. That is something to own. It is something to embrace. And it is something to dive into. So if I am speaking to you right now, then my coaching program, Becoming Unstoppable, is for you. In Unstoppable, we go deep, we go fast, and we aim for total liberation. It includes 12 lessons. They're very intentional lessons. Each one of them comes with psychologically backed exercises to help guide you through into connecting to your inherent power so that you can build your dream from this foundation of internal solidity rather than looking to the external and being swayed back and forth by that. So that is the first way, becoming unstoppable. The second way is Anchor. And this is really where I recommend, if you are new to my world, if you were new on this journey, if you're just starting out of going after what fulfillment, what internal satisfaction means, then I definitely recommend Anchor for you. It's all about anchoring in to the truth of who you are. Because let's face it, as big dreamers and high achievers, we have a plethora of things that go on in our day, from what we see on social media to whether we close a deal or not to what people say about us to, I mean, there could just be thoughts inside of our heads, like when we're waking up and we just aren't feeling it for the day. And it's these shifts, these momentary shifts that have made such an incredible impact on my journey, because the more I have leaned into harnessing my ability to shift out of these moments, oh my gosh, it has been absolutely incredible. Because instead of going for days on end of being in a funk, I've been able to recognize and even the feelings underneath the thoughts in order to be able to shift myself out of being in a funk so that I can pick back up with momentum. I can not be slowed down. And that has really allowed me to lean in to fulfillment rather than the chaotic narrative and disempowering narrative inside of my head. So if I'm speaking to you right now, then Anchor is for you. You can find both the link to Becoming Unstoppable and Anchor in the episode description, as well as the link to those amazing, powerful questions that I mentioned earlier. Either way, I want you to know that you are so, so deeply supported here. Thank you so much for tuning in to this amazing episode of Seeing Your Inner Brilliance, and I'll see you back next week for an equally powerful and amazing episode. All right, have an amazing day. You are amazing. Keep going. You got this.